to another edition of our Thursday night class here at the wonderful, beautiful synagogue at Har HaLebanon. We meet every Thursday night, unless we don't meet. But when we do meet, we meet at 7:45, and we learn the parasha. It is open for men and women. Beruchim Abaim. So we're studying Parashat Vayishlach. Now, we must make an introductory statement. Whenever we learn these parashiyot, we have to learn it to try to figure out a practical lesson that we could draw. We don't learn the Torah merely as a history book of what happened, but the Torah is instructive. The word Torah comes from the word moreh. Moreh means to instruct or to teach. When we were young, they used to read us stories, and at the end they would say, what's the moral of the story? Anytime you pick up the Torah, whatever pasuk you're going to read, you always have to say, what's the moral of the story? How does it apply? What does it teach us? This parasha especially has tremendous lessons and ramifications, especially regarding Jews like us that are in the diaspora, Jews that are in the galut. After all, these parashiyot are talking about the great confrontation between Yaakov and Esav, which is the confrontation between the Jew and the Gentile. And therefore, let's learn the parashiyot. I'd like to make some observations and then go to the masters and see how they dissect it and take it apart, and we can learn some practical lessons. So we pick up Yaakov Avinu's been away for about 34 years, and now he's making his way back to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, he has to meet with his brother. He sends some malachim, either they're angels or they're regular agents, however you want to learn it. Rashi does say malachim mamash. Go and make a meeting with Esav. Go send him some gifts. Tell him I want to meet with him, and so on and so forth. The angels come back and say, we went. Listen, doesn't look good. There's 400 men with him. Now, they're not there to roll out the red carpet. The 400 men obviously are there to fight. Looks like he's agitated. Looks like he's upset. Yaakov is afraid and he's worried. Of course, that's a double language. She deals with the double language. She says he was afraid that he's going to get killed, and he was worried that he might have to kill somebody else. But of course, there's room for us to analyze why Yaakov Avinu has this double fear. Vayira Yaakov Me'od. When it comes to the Vayira, it's a Me'od. He's very scared, and the Vayetzidon is also, he's also worried. He then makes his prayer. That was one of his preparations. Pasuk Yud Bet says, Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. The Zohar HaKadosh asks the question. Yaakov Avinu, as far as we know, only had one brother. And that was Esav. So if he's praying to be saved, why does he have to say, Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav? Save me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. He could say, Hatzileni na either miyad achi or miyad Esav. Saying miyad achi should suffice, the Zohar says. Zohar answers, from here we learn a lesson, that when you pray, you have to pray specific. Even though God knows your intent, it seems the words matter. And therefore, in Hebrew, when you say achi, it could mean your biological brother, or it could also mean your relative. Anashim achim anachnu, we're related. So therefore, if you would have said, atzileni na miyad achi, it could be some other relative. It's not directed to Esav. So he has to say, Miyad Achi, who is Esav? Although the Zohar doesn't deal with the fact that if that's the case, let him just say Miyad Esav. Well, he can't say Esav because maybe there's another Esav. That's not his brother. So therefore, he's got to be very specific. From my brother, who is Esav. But the Zohar doesn't answer the extra language, Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. He should say, Miyad Achi, Esav. Miyad Achi, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav, sounds like it's two separate tefillot. We continue. So, the Pasuk then comes along and says he prepares a gift, which is more like a bribe that he's going to send to Esav. And now, the Torah says, as he's traveling, they get to the river. He's with his wives and his children. They get to the river Yabok. And they cross the river. And then all of a sudden, Yaakov remembers, oh, I forgot something on the other side. I guarantee you it wasn't his cell phone. It was something insignificant. Cell phone significant. He forgot pachim ketanim, small little jugs, and therefore he went back over the river in order to retrieve it. Vayivater Yaakov lebado, he's alone. At that point, he meets up with, it says ish. Now, we know in Torah language, ish can mean a man, ish can also be an angel. In this case, it was an angel. And it wasn't just any angel, it was the Samech Mem. The Samech Mem is the Satan, Samech Mem is the Malach HaMavet, Samech Mem is the Yetzer Hara. And the Samech Mem, of course, his full name is Samech Mem Aleph Lamed. Every angel has a suffix in his name, Aleph Lamed, like Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. This is the angel of Esav himself. Obviously the most nefarious of all the angels, the most dangerous of all the angels. And at this point, he meets up with Yaakov and he has malintent. His intention is obviously to kill him. Vayeavek ish imo. Vayeavek. New word. We never had this word before. I read Rashi. What does it mean? Vayeavek. So Rashi comes along and starts to take the word upon it as well. Vayeavek, the root of it is avak. Avak means dust. So therefore, when you're wrestling and you're fighting, what happens? You kick up dust. So it was like, vayeavek. They created a smoke storm because they're pivoting back and forth on the floor at night, wrestling each other, moving back and forth. So vayeavek, they created a situation where there was avak. That's one interpretation. Next interpretation, he says, ve'avek le'mevak, which means they were entwined. Le'avek means to be connected to each other. In which way? So he says, when two people are wrestling, they hug each other. You ever see the sumo, those guys, the wrestlers? So they're hugging each other. Each one's trying to topple the other guy down. So ve'ye'avek is like ve'ye'habek. It's a chibuk. It's a hug. Obviously, it's a hug of violence in this case over here. Fine. Those are the two interpretations. Basically, it was a wrestling match. That's the way we'll say it. And it wasn't 10 rounds. It says they went adalot ha-shahar. So it was an all-night event. The next pasuk says, Vayar ki lo yacholo. At the end, it was a tie. The referees weren't able to call it. Vayar ki lo yacholo. Now, automatically, the victory goes to Yaakov Avinu, because if Samech Mem can't beat Yaakov, that means Yaakov won, because it's an angel fighting him. Samech Mem has all the power. Which, by the way, Yaakov, after it's all over, if you remember what happens, they change his name from Yaakov to Yisrael. Now, only angels get the suffix El. So the angel basically was telling him, hey, join the club, you're one of us. I mean, if you were able to take on me and I wasn't able to beat you, so now we got a new angel in the group over here. It's called Yisrael. You're Sarel. You were able to take on an angel and you weren't able to, you didn't get defeated. Anyway, the pasuk says, "Vayar ki lo yachol lo, vayigah bekaf yirecho." Nobody has an English in front of them, right? Do you have vayigah? I love to know how the art scroll explains it. It's 32:26. I have an idea what vayigah means, but I just want to know if they explain it a different way. Vayigah bekaf yirecho. He struck. Oh, so I know socket of their part. I want by your guy. By your guy, he struck. Okay. I wouldn't have explained it like that. Where I come from, the way we learned it in grade school, ligak is to touch. Nogeya. I mean, he's a nogeya. I'm touching it. By your guy, he reached and he touched it. That's the way I understand it. Okay, nonetheless, put that on the side. Obviously, vayeavek is not vayigah. It's two different words. Sounds like the wrestling match ended, and now we're getting into a different phase of the fight. It's the vayigah phase. Anyway, touches him on the kafyerech. Something happens to his hip. It gets dislocated. And then they ask for information, identification. What's your name? Nobody wants to give each other's name. No problem. And now the pasuk comes along and says that Yaakov decides to call the place after the event. It was very common in those days. You know, they dig wells, they call the place Be'er Sheva. Today we can't do it because all the locations that we have have names already, so you can't just start calling locations by events. But then there was no Chamber of Commerce, there was no no red tape. You went there, there was an event, you called it that, and that becomes the name. So he decides to call the name of the place Peniel. Peniel. Why? A very suitable name. Ki ra'iti Elohim panim el panim. I saw an angel. Elohim over means angel. I saw an angel face to face. I went toe to toe with an angel, v'tinatzel nafshi, and I survived it. Hence, we're naming the place, put the new sign, welcome to Peniel, population one. Peniel, the one that was able to see the face of God. Turn the page. So that means the sun rose, which means he did all this at night. This is still when before the sun came out. Now the sun came out the next morning. Ka'asher avar et Penuel. Oh. Now somebody changed the name of the city. It started off as Peniel, but by the morning already, it seems that the council of the city met. They said, we don't like Peniel. We're changing the city to Penuel. And then the Pasuk says, Vutzoleya. And now Yaakov Abinu was limping. Now, Avi's question is, why wasn't he limping the night before? Now, I'm not a big man of exercise, but the exercise buffs will tell you that you don't get Charlie horse till the next day. Which means you run the marathon, you come up from the marathon, you feel great. The next day you can't get out of bed. So what happened? It hits you after. If you want to explain it like that, then okay, that's your interpretation. We're going to probably say something, a drop more deeper than that. But he was limping only the next morning. And then the Torah says, because of that, Al-ken lo yochlu b'nei yisrael gidan asher. This event is going to affect the diet of Jews for the rest of the generations. No more sirloin steak. Why? Can't eat the gidan asher. You can't eat the sciatic nerve. Why? Ki naga b'kaf yerech Yaakov. Because you said he struck. I say he touched. However you want to learn it. I'm saying I don't understand. He probably touched every part of his body, by the way, that night. If they're wrestling, they're probably beating each other up the whole night. That's the spot you get him on over there. Why don't you get him on his ear? He probably pulled his ear off also. He probably pulled his hair. Therefore, Jewish people have to... What is the significance? Just because he hit him in the Gidah, unless you tell me, like I did see brought down in some Sefarim, that's the only part of the body that Yaakov Abinu felt some pain. Which is interesting, by the way. They're wrestling the whole night, and none of the body got Charlie horse. Only the spot where he gave him in the leg. For some reason, that spot all of a sudden felt a certain pain. So I saw brought down in Sfarim that as Jews, we like to commiserate and empathize with people that are suffering. So therefore, that's our way to tell Yaakov Abinu, we feel your pain. We're not going to eat the Gidin Asher. You know, we know you went through a hard item. So how can we show that we're commiserating with you? You know, so when we take an animal, we're taking out the Gidin Asher. We're not going to eat it. This is to say, Imo Anuchi Betzara, I'm with you. Okay, it's a nice apia musa. It's a concept of Noseh Be'olim Havero. Fine. Incidentally, the word Hanasher. It's a little interpretation. Hanashem means that moved, the dislocation. But we have one of the Shivatim, or actually one of the grandchildren of Yaakov, that has a name that's similar to Hanasher, and that's Menasher. And we know that the word Menasher comes from the word Nashani, which means to forget. Yaakov Abinu says, or Yosef HaSadiq says, God allowed me to forget all my troubles, because he had a lot of troubles till he got down to Egypt, and even in Egypt, and therefore he names his son Menasher, the ability to forget. So Gida Nasher is the vein that of forgetting, if you want to explain it that way. I don't know what they're forgetting exactly, but that's what it's called, Gida Nasher. Continue the story about that. And now Yaakov Abinu finishes with the angel. Now I want to explain it to you very good. Whatever's going to happen with Yaakov and Esav, now what I'm going to read to you, just happened with the angel. The angel is already the first round of a two-round fight. The second round is going to be with Esav, but it's just going to be a repeat. The angel is the source. It's just like we have Maaseh Avot Siman Dabanim. Maaseh Esav happens with the Samech Mem. So whatever the Samech Mem does is going to have an influence on Esav's behavior. So first Yaakov deals with the, you know, the wheel. That, put it this way. The Samek Mem is the heavyweight. And now Esav will call him the lightweight. So therefore, the real battle is already done. I mean, we know how it's going to come out with Esav already. I don't have to read the story. If he beat the Samek Mem, then Esav is no challenge. But the Torah is going to tell us how it panned out. So what happens? He opens his eyes, he looks, he sees Esav coming with 400 people. Okay, divides his family, no problem. He bows. Okay, very good. It's the same story. Because that's what they were doing the whole night before. The whole night before, they were hugging each other the whole night. So over here, I assume either he was wrestling him again, and then says he kissed him. Now, that didn't happen in the story over there. The angel summoned him and kissed Yaakov, that's for sure. But if you look in the Humashim, you have it there, Doc, you'll see there's some dots on the word Vayishakehu. There's dots on the word Vayishakehu. And Achamim say, therefore, you can't read it literally that he kissed him. There's something going on with this word over here. We don't know if it really was a kiss or not, because the dots already come and take away the simple meaning of the word. Fine, we'll see what he did. And then all of a sudden, the Pasuk comes along and says, Yaakov says, please accept my gift. I have a gift for you. And Esav, he makes as if he follows, social etiquette. No, please, I have a lot. I don't need it. No, thank you. Before you know it, he took it already. It was very quick. You know, he lost his formality over there. You know, please, I insist. He says, yeah, okay, no problem, I'll take it. And then the Pasuk just says, an observation. I didn't come to talk about this part of it tonight, but it says he sees all Yaakov's family. Yaakov has his shefachot with the children, and then Leah with the children, and Rachel with Yosef. They're all lined up. So it says, Vayisa'et enav. Esav lifts his eyes. What's the first thing Esav sees? Vayaret anashim. Of course, what is he seeing? Vayaret anashim. He's seeing the girls. That's in Shaki. That's Esav. There's thousands of people there. Well, Esav already, his eyes right away catch the anashim. Mi'el lelach, oh, those are my kids. And then, Yaakov Avinu, however it is, departs from Esav. They have a little meeting there. There's some conversation that I'll get back to it. And then all of a sudden, the Pasuk says, Esav goes his way, and V'Yaakov Nasa Sukkota, and he went his way. V'Yaakov Nasa Sukkota, they parted ways. That's the story. Now, there's a question that was also asked by the great Rosh Hashiva of Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damav. Elchanan Wasserman was the star student of the Hafetz Chaim. Later on, he became the Rosh Hashiva of his own yeshiva in Baranovich. The Hafetz Chaim had great respect for this student, Rav Elchanan Wasserman. When the Hafetz Chaim was planning to move to Israel, the student said, you're leaving us? He says, don't worry, you're in good hands, Rav Elchanan is here. That means the Hafetz Chaim looked at him as the protege. I recently heard Rabbi Isaac Bernstein told a story from London that he once asked another student of the Hafetz Chaim, in jest, he said, you were in the same class as Rav Elchanan Wasserman. You both heard Shiurim from Hafetz Chaim. How is it that he became Rav Elchanan? You're a regular guy. He asked, had the guts to ask him that question. So he understood the question. He says, listen, when Hafetz Chaim gave the shi'ur, I heard every word that he said. He said, but Rav Elchanan was shaking. He was trembling. When it didn't enter me like it entered Rav Elchanan. Anyway, we all know the end of his life, the way he died. He died in one of the most noble deaths. He died in Kovno on the 9th fort by the Nazis. He knew that he was going to be murdered, him and his Talmidim. The night before, they studied Hilchot Kiddush Hashem. And he told the students, tomorrow is a big day. We're going to be human sacrifices. Our bodies are going to be kapara, so the Jews in America can continue to live. Therefore, your thoughts are going to be very, very important in this process. Don't have any bad thoughts, because it can make the Qurban pigul. And they stood, and they said the beracha al kiddush Hashem, and the Nazis killed them. Hashem yimkum damam. That's Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. He was a giant, not only in his learning. Obviously, we have the Kovetz Shi'urim, but what I'm quoting you tonight is from his Hashkafa in Kovetz Ma'amarim. I recommend, must read these Hashkafot of Rabbi Elchanan. This is a Rosh Yeshiva with views that are unfiltered. This rabbi was not politically correct. He was not looking to make friends, nor was he running for, for mayor or president of the congregation. He tells it to you like it is. You want to hear it, you hear it. And that's why he didn't have too many friends. But nonetheless, that's the Rav Elchanan. So he says, V'sarik le'avin, v'ma shekatuv v'yavek ish imo, de'ha ishu samech mem. We know that who the ish is. De'lama himtin samech mem melilchom ad Yaakov. Why did the samech mem wait to fight Yaakov? There's two tzaddikim before Yaakov. Yitzhak is a big tzaddik. Avraham Avinu is the founder. Why is the Samech Mem so tolerant that he gave Avraham Avinu a pass? He gives Yitzhak a pass, and he decides to pick a fight on number three in the lineup. Why didn't he go after Avraham or Yitzhak? He says, ולמה המתין סמך מם ללחום עד יעקב שהיה כמלכות המשולש? He's number three. היה לו ללחום עם אברהם. That's Rav Elchanan's famous question. We'll get back to it. But in order to unravel everything that we've been talking about tonight, I want to go back to the classic. Now, I know our members know this already, but I'm going to present it again because of its important value. I don't intend to say too many chiddushim tonight. This is a classic book, and it's the Beit HaLevi on Parashat Vayishlach. Must read. I have a copy of it. The Beit HaLevi, of course, the great rabbi of Brisk, the Soloveitchik dynasty. So he asks the question, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav, and he says the following. He says, V'yesh lefaresha kavana, the Yaakov, behodio de Esav bal leklato, when he was told that Esav is coming towards him, Hevini understood, de lo yimalet mehad meshna ofanim, that Esav can present himself in one of two ways. Or de Esav yilachem imo, or he can come as a warrior, which means then he has intent to kill him, v'yirtze lehorgo, which is what we expect. Or he can come in peace, v'yashuv me'apo, and he can return from his anger, v'yeshev imo b'shalom v'ahava, and he can choose to sit with Yaakov Avinu in brotherhood and in harmony. Kishne Ahim, fraternity, like two brothers. Umishnea ofanim alalu nityare Yaakov. Yaakov is worried from both scenarios. Now, the Beit HaLevi is saying the Bichidush. The fact that Yaakov is afraid of the violent hands of Esav, Mimela, we understand his fear. But shouldn't Yaakov Abinu be relieved on the other side of the equation? If indeed Esav is coming, let bygones be bygones. It's 35 years already. Listen, I'm not looking to make any fight with you. Let's just finish with it. Let's make peace. Why should Yaakov be worried about that scenario? But the Beit HaLevi says, indeed he was. He says, and that's why Yaakov Aminu makes a double prayer. It's not the same prayer. Atzileni na miyad achi, save me from the situation that Esav will treat me like a brother, miyad Esav, and save me as well from the violent Esav. It's two different scenarios. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzed lo. He's afraid and he's worried. Vayira Yaakov me'od from Ahi, vayetzed lo from Esav. How do I know that? Because the pasuk has to follow the same order. Ahi comes first and then Esav. So therefore, Vayira Yaakov Me'od, it seems he was more worried and more afraid of the first scenario, because it's a Vayirah Yaakov Me'od. When it came to the second scenario that Esav might come with violent hands, he was concerned, he was worried. But he wasn't terrified, he was terrified from the first situation. And the question that now becomes on the Beit HaLevi, why should Yaakov worry if Esav is going to drop his guns and it's not going to be a violent confrontation and it's going to be peaceful? He says, and he comes along and he writes. He says, whatever's going to happen to the avos going to happen to us. Look at the history of the Jews. The Jews in relationship with Esav, yitnaheg ken im Yisrael b'shnei ofanim. In the 2,000 years of galut that we spent with Esav, the two faces of Esav have emerged. Kasher atzal lasot im Yaakov. Depetrilat galut haya gozer gezerot ra'ot, terrible decrees, shmadot, pogroms, holocausts, yisurin, v'yilachem bahem, v'yirtzel le'abedam. And Esav's intention was le'abedam, to annihilate the Jewish people. Ulbesof, and then at other times, yomar ki rotzel lishev b'shalva im Yaakov. And other times, the United States of America is a perfect example. We don't have to go so far. They welcomed the Jews to the shores of the United States, and they said, you share the same freedoms as everybody else. All men are created equal under the law, and therefore the Jews have all the freedoms and all the benefits like everybody else. No longer does the Jew get, you know, penned up in a ghetto somewhere. Now he doesn't have to wear a yellow badge around his arm. The Jew is considered an equal, and he can go to any place that anybody else in the country can go. We're not considered second. There's no dogs and Jews allowed. The Jews are allowed to be anywhere. That's peace. I would say it's great. Baruch Hashem, golden era, says the Beit HaLevi. What do you think? That is something that it should concern us, because there's a kavanah behind. When you see the Gentile host is affording you liberties and freedom, it's sinister. You shouldn't think, Shem Shamayim, they have our best interest. He says, V'kavanato. There's a kavanah. I mean, there's an intent. It's a malintent. The bazeh yarchik et Yisrael me'avodat Hashem. The intention is to bring Bnei Yisrael away from the service of God, v'yedihem me'emunatam, and to take away the emunah. So the Beit HaLevi argues, what's worse? Rav Elchanan, in one of his letters here in Kovetz Ma'amarim, he asks a question. He says, what's worse, living under Hitler or living under Stalin? Now, zeh ve'la v'zeh terefa, we're not judging the two criminals. Now, listen, when I hear the word Hitler, Shem Yishayim Birkab, automatically I say, Hitler, finish. It's not okay. Whoever you can put on the other side, worse. Rav Elchanan, he says, Stalin. Why? He says, because Hitler was killing. That was the face of Esav, the bloody hands. Jews died. They said Shema before they died. They go to Olam Abba. Stalin, on the other hand, wasn't killing so many of the people at the time. Let's say those that survived it, let's say, he was taking God away from them. You could live. Go to the Russian army, deny God. You can't serve God. So when you come out of Russia in Stalin's time, you're alive. Only problem is you have no soul. He took your soul away. And therefore, that's a spiritual death. So therefore he says, pick your poison. Either you want to die physically from the hand of Esav, or you want to die spiritually. Rav Elchanan says, the spiritual death is much worse. That's why Yaakov Avinu says, Hatzineni na miyad ahi. And I remind you, when Napoleon Bonaparte came into Europe, and he took over, and he brought freedom. His was egalite, fraternite, liberté. And some of the great rabbis prayed for his demise. Why? And he said, we're better off living under the Tsar Nikolai in Russia than under Bonaparte. Because the Tsar Nikolai in Russia, he's a brute. And he's beating us up. But we're still Jewish. But with this freedom and the emancipation of Bonaparte, he's going to open up the gates for the Jews to now become like equals with the Europeans, and that's going to lead to assimilation, and there's going to go, the Jews are going to give up his religion. And they were right. That's exactly what happened. So therefore you see, both faces of Esav are bad. Whether he comes like an Ah, or whether he comes like Esav. I will say something now. We've seen it back-to-back generations. The Holocaust was Esav, and right after the Holocaust in America, it's the brother. And if you question, was the brother so bad, Rabbi? We're having a good run here in America. Yes, but if you look at the assimilation rate in the United States, there's at least 6 million Jews since the post-Holocaust era that assimilated. Some have referred to that as the Silent Holocaust. And there are no museums to commemorate that Holocaust. And some will argue, or Elchanan can argue, that, listen, the Holocaust is the highest level of tragedy. Nobody can underestimate it or say, Chas v'Shalom, to minimize it. A drop, an iota. But it's a physical death. The assimilation of Jews is considered spiritual suicide. So there's been just as much casualties, if not more, from the Ah than from the Esav. The only difference is, the Holocaust, the Jews were marched into the gas chambers with a gun behind their back. In America, they walked into the chambers willingly, on their own volition, without any enemy behind them, which is a big difference. So, pick your poison. Famous letter that Tsar of Russia sent to his nephew, Franz Joseph, who was the premier of Austria. And he says to my dear nephew, why do you afford Jews freedom and liberty in your domain? Wouldn't it be more prudent to torture them and to, you know, tax them like I do in my domain? Franz Joseph sends back to my dear uncle Tsar of Russia, you kill your Jews your way, I'll kill them my way. Which means we both have the same end game. We both want to kill the Jews. You're going to kill them with poison, and I'm going to kill them with a smile. Finish. It's the same end game. Franz Joseph is even more sinister because his intention is to assimilate them and take away their souls. So that's what Yaakov was worried about. And his fear came true. Let's go to the story. Now we go back to the story when he meets up with Esav. So what happens? The Pasuk says, Vayishakehu. He kissed him. I will refer to this as the kiss of death. Because the dots on the Vayishakehu hint to us that initially he didn't have intention to kiss him. He was like a vampire. Vayishakehu can be read Vayishakehu. That's what the dots do. They compromise the word a little. Tried to bite his neck. And a miracle happened. Yaakov's neck turned into marble, and he broke his teeth. Good for Esav. But the point is, initially came to kill him. When he saw that he couldn't kill him, so right away changed gears. The hatred didn't leave him. He still has the hatred, but now he says, if I can't bite him to death, I'll kiss him to death. You ever hear what they say in America? Kill him with kindness. Exactly what Esav's intention was. And look what he tells him. After he kisses him, Yaakov Avinu says, what I was worried about. I was worried about the hug of death and the bite of death, and now I'm worried about that Esav is, kissing me now to be my friend. And all of a sudden, Esav makes his pitch. What's his pitch? After they share gifts and all, niceties. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer, Nis'ad v'nelecha ve'elecha l'negdecha. Let's travel together. This is the Esav that couldn't tolerate Yaakov. He caused Yaakov to run away from the house and he vowed to kill him. Now all of a sudden, he says, my brother? And obviously, Yaakov doesn't look like Esav. Yaakov has a hat, has a beard, the kids are wearing tzitzit, he's probably wearing tefillin all day long, Yaakov, he's got the Gemara in his hand, all the kids are dressed like tzaddikim, and who knows what they're doing over Esav's flock. There's no connection between the two. And all of a sudden, Esav becomes a very tolerant guy. You know what, Baruch Abba, let's go travel together. What's his intention? He says, a couple of days with Uncle Esav, my lifestyle is much more convenient, and the nephews and the nieces will start to, get influenced a little. Before you know it, they're going to tell Yaakov, we don't want to dress like this. We want to dress like Esav. He gets to wear whatever he wants to wear. Why do we got to get up so early? Uncle Esav wakes up late every day. He takes us hunting. He takes us fishing. He takes us, we learning all that. That was his intention. Just give me a couple of months with your family. We'll travel together. We'll have trips. We'll make parties. By the way, you don't look at this pasuk as the most dangerous pasuk of the parasha, but this is the most dangerous pasuk of the parasha. This invitation, it looks like a nice invitation. Baruch Abba, please join me. Meanwhile, in his brain, he's calculating how long it's going to take me to convert Yaakov's family, to make them atheists, like Stalin's going to do, to bereft them from their souls. That's what he's planning to do over here. That's why Yaakov Abin was afraid by Yirah Yaakov Me'od from this invitation. So right away he answers very quickly. He says, the kids are young. I don't want to slow you down. He's got to get out of it. He can't tell him you're a bum. He can't tell him you're an asha. Then he'll start the fight again. So he's got to give him an excuse. Listen, I got a lot of animals. You travel at a faster pace than I do. You know what? How about you go ahead of me and I'll catch up. I'll meet you there. Start without me. Basically, he's ditching him. He says, you go, and when Mashiach comes, I'll meet up with you. That's what Hashem says. So Esav is not happy. Esav said, wait. He got out of that very, very gracefully, Yaakov Abinu. I'm not going to let him get away with it. Vayomer Esav, he gives another pitch. How about, if you don't want to travel with me, I'll give you some of my people will escort you. Of course, I'll send you some of my professors from the college to hang out with you. I'll send you some of my musicians. They'll teach you all our music. We have a couple of, the fashion design. We'll send you with them. Send all this garbage and send all these people. If I can't corrupt you myself, I'll send my shidi'im. Let them be with you. And again, take some books. Have some good books. Read some books. Give your kids some of these books over here. Some movies, some DVDs, and give them some of this stuff over there. Yaakov Abinu says, plan two, plan B. Why is he being so nice to me? Why is he offering me to give me free escort, free security detail? So yes, Vayomer, Lama Zem Sain Ben Adoni, what do you want from me? I've been good for 34 years without your people. I don't need your people. Thank you, Esav, but no thank you. And now Yaakov Abinu is praying that it ends there. And all of a sudden, miracle happens. Esav goes back home, and the pasuk says, "V'Yaakov nasa sukota," parting of the ways. Yaakov survives not only the Esav, but he survives the brother. Nes gadol hayasham. You see how mentally he's learning this parasha over here. The only question that I had then, based on what we're learning, is great. Go back to the story of the angel. That means the story of the angel also has to have both elements in it. Because the story of the angel is the first movie. And the sequel, part two, is really based on part one. Now when I'm reading part one, when he meets the angel, all I see is Esav the brute. It's a wrestling match till the morning. I don't see the in the fight with the angel. That was my question. You hear my question? All I see is Vayavek Ishimo Adalot Ashad. He's wrestling till the morning. You cannot explain a wrestling match to kill somebody as in a brotherly love. Try to kill him. Unless we go back to that word that I was harping. And I'm going to learn it differently tonight. Again, all I need is one member to second the motion, and then we put it in the book. V'yavik ish imo. They wrestled the whole night. Vayar ki lo yacholo. What does it mean, v'lo yacholo? He saw the angel, that is. He's not going to be able to kill Yaakov violently. V'lo yacholo. So it should say, Vayar ki lo yacholo. So he went back home. He said, I can't go with him. See, the wrestling match is over. I'm going back upstairs. No, plan B. What is plan B? Vayigah. What is Vayigah, gentlemen, ladies? Not he struck. Don't tell me he struck. He touched him. Vayigah, like we always learn. What did he do? He made nice. He made nice. Vayigah. Vayigah. Okay, the war's over. He patted him. Okay. Vayigah. He patted him. You know how you pat a guy in the baseball? That when the guy gets a baby, you hit him in the back. Okay, nice shot. You hit him. He patted him. Vayigah. Okay, pal. And that was a nice... nice fight we had over here. Okay, peace. He patted him on the Vayigah. Now the Pasuk says, what happened? That's the only spot of his body that hurt him. When he was trying to kill him, there's no pain. He touches him, it makes nice. The part of the body that he touched to make nice. That's the part that hurt him. Yaakov Avinu understands that little pat that he gave me is more dangerous than the whole night of wrestling. Wrestling means they want to kill us. Okay, they'll kill us, we go to Olam Haba. But once the gleam start to make nice to us, Vayigah, now they come along and say, come live with us. They start to give us all sorts of freedoms and such. That's what Yaakov, and that's where the damage is, in the Vayigah, not in the Vayavik. So there's two parts of that battle. There's the Vayavik and the Vayigah. Two different stories, plan A, plan B. And of course, Esav has the same plans. So what happens? The Pasuk writes, Vayikra Yaakov, Shema Makom, Piniel. This is at night. He names the place Piniel. Kiraiti Elohim Panim El Panim. I saw an angel face to face, toe to toe. Batin Natsil Nafshi. What is he saying here? He's mentioning over here the first part of the night when the angel was trying to kill him. This is the part of Vayavek Ishimu. He says, I saw the angel face to face. He tried to kill me. And if he's going to try to kill me, he's going to try to kill my children and my grandchildren. That's going to be the MO of Esav throughout the generations. But you know what? Vatinatzil nafshi. At least my soul was saved. Vatinatzil nafshi. When he comes after me to kill me, where does the Jew turn? Pine'el. He turns his face to God. So therefore he said, even though it's uncomfortable and even though we don't want to die and we don't want to be the victims of the brutal anti-Semitism, but ultimately it's Pene'el. Ultimately, what happens when they make the Gezerah? The Jew opens a daily book, the Jew runs to the synagogue, the Jew makes the Teshuvah. So therefore, that night, the Pasuk says, it was Pene'el. Ra'iti, Elohim Parim and Parim, he's going to try to kill us. But one thing is for sure, Vatinatzil nafshi, my nefesh, my soul will be saved. S.O.S. And now turn the page. Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. Vayizrach lo Hashemesh means that's plan B. When the sun rose. It doesn't only mean the sun, the physical sun. When the Goyim now come and shine their sun on us. Now it's not the dark nights of violent nights in the pogrom. Now it's Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. Now the Goyim come along and they're smiling. Vayigah. Now the Vayigah. Now we're ready. The name is not Piniel. Now it's Pinuel. Turn away from God. When the Goyim are killing us, it's Pineel. The Jew gets closer to God. Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. Then the Jews start to assimilate and take on the culture. And now what's their position towards God? Penu, they turn away from God. It's a big difference between Pene'el and Penu'el. The Penu'el is the more problematic, obviously. And now what does it say? Vehusoleya. Now Yaakov's limping. That's what he limps. The limping of Yaakov is on the Vayigah, not on the Vayavik. We can survive the Vayavik, not physically, but spiritually we'll survive it. The Jew dies with Shema Yisrael, Yesh lo chelik le'olam haba. But when the Jew dies of assimilation because the Goyim allowed us to share the culture with them, so then already it's Vayizna'at lo Hashemesh, like the Hatam Sofer said in his famous Mashal. The Hatam Sofer said, the wind and the sun had a wager. There was a guy walking in the street with a fur coat. And the wind and the sun said, let's see who can get him to take off his coat. So the sun told the wind, Bechavod, you go first. So the wind started to howl and blow, gale force winds trying to blow it off him. But it had a reverse effect. The more the wind blew, the more he held it tight, his coat. He didn't want the coat to go off. He wasn't able to do it. And now the sun came out on a beautiful day, no wind, no clouds, 95 degrees, quiet. And the guy took it off willingly. Said the Hatam Sofer, when the Goyim come after us with the face of Esav, what does the Jew do to his religion? He holds on tighter. Turns to God. But when the sun comes out, when they come along and they shine their kindness upon us, then the Jew takes off his coat willingly. He gives the religion and puts it in the garbage. That's when you feel the damage. Al ken, therefore, we don't eat the gida nasher because that's the main item. We want to remember the part, not the violent part of it. We want to remember the vayigah. Don't eat the gida nasher. So you remember, if you're living in an exile where they're tolerating you, be careful. You're in danger. You don't have to be told you're in danger in 1937 Germany. That's obvious. You need to be told you're in danger in 2021 America. That you need to be told, because that's not so apparent. And that's why I said, don't eat the gid and asher, because the gid reminds you of the vayigah, not the vayavik. The vayavik, you know about. It's the vayigah that you have to be concerned about. It's not your body so much that you have to be worried. It's the souls that you have to be worried. In this pasuk of Vayisrach lo Hashemesh, it does not say batinatzel nafshi. Yes, at night, when it says piniel, yeah, that's batinatzel nafshi, save our souls. But the next day, when the sun comes out, then already, now the souls are in play. Now already, it's neshama. And therefore, don't eat the gid and asher. And hanasher means to forget, because that's when you forget God. That's when the religion is forgotten. The gid of forgetfulness. The forgetfulness of the tradition. Now, once we've got to this point, we can now go read Rav Elchanan's answer to the question that he raised. Why did he wait till Yaakov? All good stuff. But Abraham is the founder of this business. Go after, listen, since when is the Samech Mem not up for a fight against the Jew? So go after the first Jew. Yitzhak Avinu, there's a beauty, he says, Akedah, he says, Sadiq Yisod Olam, go after Yaakov. Listen to what he says. This is a masterpiece. This is a stroke of genius of Rav Elchanan Rasselin. He says, Bine Amru Razal, he quotes the Yerushalmi. Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Avodah Zara Gilui Arayot V'Shvichut Damim. God came to destroy the first temple. It says the Jews were doing the cardinal sins, federal crimes, murder, immorality, idolatry. And you know what God's opinion when they were doing those crimes was? Viter. You know what viter is? Let it slide. But one sin God did not have tolerance. This I cannot forgive. And what is that? Bitul Torah. They weren't learning. Rav Elchanan asked the question, you're telling me that Bitul Torah is worse than Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, and Shvichut Damim? Those are all Ten Commandments, by the way. How did you tell me that on those items you mevater, God will close his eyes to those, but Bitul Torah, that's it. Now you went over the threshold. Now you passed the red line. We can't be mohel Bitul Torah. So Rav Elchanan explains it according to a mashal, a parable. He said, "V'kshishnitz tadim lohamim." When you have two sides that are fighting, "Afidu im yel tzad echad nitzachon al havero." Even if one of the sides wins a battle, "Mikom akom adayin lo negmera milchama." They won a battle. But just because you won a battle doesn't mean you won the war. If I could trivialize it, it's like we have some boxing buffs over here. In boxing, just because he lost the first round doesn't mean you lost the match. There's always a second round until you get 10 rounds. So therefore, in war, it's the same thing. You lose the battle, but you don't lose the war. De'efshar shayom yinatzeyach ze umahar yinatzeyach havero. Today, this side won, tomorrow the other side will win. Aval, ima echad takaf mechabiro etakli zayin shaya biyado. But if one of the sides is able to take away his opponent's ammunition, his weapons, vechabiro nishar bilo kli zayin, and the other opponent is left without any ammunition and weapons, bezeh nigmera melchama. At that point, war is over. You can't fight without weapons. Now let's apply this to the real war. The war that he's giving us here, that's child's play. Now let's get the real war. The real war is the war against the Yetzer. Yetzer Hara. Asher HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ya'id. God said, you have to know, you're at war. This is the major confrontation. And you must know that although I put you in a war, I gave you ammunition. And there's only one ammunition to fight the Yetzer Hara. Barati Yetzer Hara, barati Torah Tevalim. That's the ammunition, God says. And it works. It's tried and tested. Take your ammunition, now go fight him. So he writes, Vishum Kli Zayim, no other weapon, aher, lo yitzlach neged a Yetzer Hara, rak limud haTorah. There's no other, you can't fight this enemy with anything else, even other good deeds and other mitzvot. Only limud haTorah. Like Mesilat Yesharim writes. V'imken, hold on to your seats now. V'imken, if so. Kishi Yisrael en betelin milimud haTorah, when B'nai Yisrael, the times of the destruction of the temple, started to make what's called Bitul Torah, Avdu Akli Zayin Shalayim. They dropped their weapons. Until that point, they were committing Gilui Arayot, Shifichut. That's a battle. So they lost the battle. Fine. But as long as they had Torah, they could win the war. But once already they made Bitul Torah, the war is over. There's no way you can win. There's no way you can recover. Based on this, says the Rav. Valken, for that reason, Hayetzer Hara mitchazek u'mitametz. What's the main item that the Yetzer Hara fights Bnei Yisrael on? Lebatel milimud haTorah. Don't learn. Of course, because that, I was going to say, that's the antidote. That's always they told us in yeshiva. Antidote is a $10 word. It means like it's the medicine. Barati Yetzer Hara, barati Torah Tevlin. So we always looked at it as, in the words that we use today, the vaccine. Okay, now you happy? It's the vaccine against the Torah, the booster against the Torah. Now, this shot you have to take. I'm not going to come down on the other shot, but this shot you have no choice to take. But it's really not a right mashal. Booster or vaccines like a nice thing. You go to the doctor, you just, no, this is a war. The Torah is not a vaccine. The Torah is a bomb. The Torah is a weapon. You're in war with a Yetzer Hara. Wants to kill you. Wants to take away your soul. And there's only one item that's a kryptonite that can destroy the guy. And that's limud haTorah, what we're doing right now. Anything else is synthetic, says Rav Lucha. Anything else is not going to work. Even if I do chesed all day, chesed is not limud haTorah. Now, don't not do chesed. But that's not going to inoculate you from the Yetzer Hara. Even Rabbi, what if, I've got to give you the scenario. What if, however, I pray all day long and fast all day long. How about that? So he says, I heard from my Rebbe, the Hafetz Chaim. He says, Mepe Kadosh. Now, obviously, the Hafetz Chaim said it in Yiddish. Should I take a shot at it in Yiddish? Dem Yetzer Hara, Arit Nit Ayud Zelfasten, Und wennen und davenen a ganzen Tag, aber nicht lernen. And I do. Okay. Which means he said, the Yetzirah has no problem, let a Jew fast all day long and let him pray all day long. Just don't learn. We would see somebody fasting all day long and praying, reading Tehillim. Oh, Kadosh. Anything but to learn, because the only way to get the Yetzirah destroyed is through learning. And now he says, Avraham Avinu introduced to the world what? Chesed. The Satan says, that's all you're introducing, Chesed, that's all you got to offer us? I got no problem. Chesed, Baruch Abba, Chesed doesn't bother me. I could live with Chesed. By the way, the conservative, the reform, they give a lot of charity. They got the UJA, they got all their charities. Everybody's doing Chesed. They build hospitals, they go to Rwanda to feed the hungry. Everybody's doing Chesed. Chesed, I'm okay. Good luck to you, Chesed. I'll help you do Chesed. Yitzhak Avinu comes with his Sidur, Avodah, I'm going to pray, Tefillah. Build temples, build sanctuaries, build synagogues. I'll help you. That doesn't get me. Good luck to you. That's not a weapon. That's a water gun. It doesn't bother me. Then Yaakov comes, and he comes with the bomb, with the nuclear bomb. He says, what is that? This is Torah. Hey, why don't you do with your grandfather, Chesed? Hey, my grandfather, what I'm bringing to the table. Now the Yetzirah says, this is the guy we got to go after. Because he's the only one that's carrying the weapon of the Kli Zayin that can get me. That's why he waited. Avraham and Yitzhak were not a threat to Satan. Limud Torah was the threat. So then he says he went to fight him, and he wasn't able to get him, which is a good sign. You'll never be able to get the learners. The learners of Mosidit Nefesh, they sacrifice for learning, and there's always going to be learners. The fact that Yaakov survived it, it's a good sign. But something happened, says Rav Elchanan at that battle. He got him in the legs. V'chatuv sham, bayar ki lo yachol lo. V'yigam bekaf yedecho. The Zohar says, Elu temichin deoraita. He was able to get the part of the body that supports the body. What supports Yaakov? His legs. The Yetzirah said, Im en kemach en Torah. Listen, you can have yeshivas, you can have rabbis, but if you don't have money, they can't support them, then I'll get them from the back door. If the rabbis don't have money to live, they won't be able to study Torah. So he didn't go after Yaakov. He couldn't touch the learner. He went after the legs of the learner, the support. Timichid de oraita. Ki aharesh shirasha tamid hakam lo yishma na'atzato. Tamid hakam, not listening to the Yetzirah. I'm learning. They're not going to make bitur. Het hachem balach etzra mahzikim. He went after the supporters. Hatomchim. את לומדי התורה שלא יחזיקו ואם אין קמח אין תורה ותקע כף ילך יעקב והבקו אמו. That's the big challenge. Go collect for anything and it's an easy sale. Collect for a wedding, it's an easy sale. Collect for a chesed, an easy sale. Collecting for the kolel, I don't give kolel. What's collecting for the kolel in the shul? Guy says, I don't give the kolel. I said, no problem, flash your name out. I said, what do you mean, Hashem? I said, you're still limping. I said, the Satan got you. Or that's the guy we're talking about. I was looking for that guy. I always learned in yeshiva that when they hit the legs, he got the support. But I finally meet the guy. Who's the guy that got beat in the leg? I said, you have a big limp over here. That's the guy. Not to support Torah, because he knows through attrition, we'll get the Tamid HaChamim. Then he says a second interpretation. Yesh od pirush. Yerech Yaakov. What comes out of the legs of a person, the loins of a person? Children. אלו תינוקות של בית רבן שהולך לאבות התינוקות. יצרה goes to the fathers of the kids ואומר להם, what do you got to send your kids to yeshiva for? What are they teaching them anyway over there? They're going to become good for nothings. They're going to become iutzlas. Let them go to college. Let them go to university. Let them go. Let them become something of themselves. He says, we're going to go after the kids. Free tuition. But you got to go to yeshiva. And once already we send our kids out of the yeshiva system, that's already the kiss of death. Then already they don't have. So now you're putting them in the world of America and you took away their weapons. That's a cruel parent. That you put your child in a dangerous war and you take away his weapons and he's got to fight it. He can't fight it. By not giving your kids a yeshiva education, you're not giving him the weapons to fight it. And even those that send their kids to the yeshiva. Today we should be very concerned, I'll conclude with this, with colleges. And we have to mention it. Colleges are not the colleges that our parents went to. It changed, as we know. I don't think I'm saying a chedush over here. But Rabbi Elchanan was not talking in 2021. He talked about it in the 1930s. And listen to what he said. It's amazing the language he said. He said, a father has two obligations to his boy. He's got to circumcise him, and he's got to teach him a trade. Obligations. And how do you teach him a trade? Well, you got to teach him education so he can know how to do something. He says, and nowhere in the Talmud does it say that teaching a trade is higher than the mitzvah of Brit Milah. Understood? At best, they're equal. But clearly, we don't have no indication that teaching a trade is higher than Brit Milah. So he says, and what's the law by Brit Milah? That if two brothers died as a result of Brit Milah, we don't do Brit Milah. And if people are dying in college spiritually to learn a trade, we don't do teaching trade anymore. Met Mahmat Milah Yepatur from Brit Milah. Met Mahmat Lilamedo Umanut. Finish. That mitzvah is off the table as well. It's not better than Brit Milah. If we cancel Brit Milah because there's death, today we're seeing today what goes on in the world. The kids go in with a little belief and in a few classes, they come out, God forbid. We see it with our own eyes. But our point is, Rabotai, shouldn't think, because we're living in such a generation that, you know, our God could be down. Your God cannot be down. And if our God is not down for ourselves, certainly not for our children. And if there's any society that the Esav is permeating everything he has, all his tricks are all over the place, you can't escape it. Wherever you go today, especially it's in our homes, we're carrying it around. I've said that when he hit him in the thigh over there, that's where we put the cell phones. He put it there. He knew one day we're going to put the cell phones over there. He put it in the right spot. The Tumav Yaakov is still in that same spot. But regardless of that, the lesson is Limud HaTorah. Always follow your enemies. The enemies know. If the Satan's going after Torah, that means that's the most important commodity we have. From my enemies, I learn exactly what is important. My enemies know the real scoop. You know, we might not know it, but the enemy knows it. Take it from the Samich Mem. If he went after Yaakov, that means Yaakov has the treasure. And our intent is that just like Yaakov Abinu told Esav, I can't travel with you now, but I'll catch up with you later. That she says he meant when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, the world will be clear and clean from all Esav's destructive forces. And at that point,